Okay, let's get it. Locked On LSU, your team every day. I'm Matt Moscona, ESPN Radio, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria, CST, and right here for the Locked On LSU podcast. We'll talk to Jai Eugene, former LSU Tiger, whose son is a quarterback recruit for the class of 2023. Found out that Matthew Beck will wear the prestigious number 8 for the baseball team. The LSU senior pitcher will stop by. But we'll start with some news on the football field.
You probably have heard by now over the weekend, Marcell Brooks informed the LSU football coaching staff that he's leaving, that he's entered the transfer portal. This is disappointing. There's no way around it because this is a guy that the coaching staff has been so high on. Ed Ogeron, if you remember, Marcell Brooks from the Dallas area, Flower Mound, Texas to be exact, was a consensus 5-star recruit a year ago. The 24/7 composite had him as the number 2 outside linebacker in the country. He was the number 32 overall prospect. 24/7 Sports had him as the number 17 overall prospect in the country. But in the composite, he was number 32. Had offers from everybody. Picked LSU over Bama, Florida, Oklahoma, Texas, A&M, and others. So this was a major recruit that Ed Ogeron landed. And he was tailor-made for the 3-4 defense as an outside linebacker. Last year, as a freshman, 6'2", 195. Played in 11 games, did not make any starts, but a guy that was clearly athletic enough to get off the edge and was going to be the next Caleb on Chasson in the 3-4. Well, we know what happened. LSU switched from a 3-4 to a 4-3, and that's probably where some of the ambiguity for Marcell Brooks came in. Look, earlier this month, it was late last month. It was in May. Ed Ogeron did his weekly visit on Off the Bench, and they went position group by position group throughout this shutdown. And this is what he said about Marcell Brooks when they were talking about linebackers.
We have to put him on the field. The guy's a force on the field. He's fast. He can make plays. He's very aggressive. Are we going to put him in a stack linebacker right now? He's learning it right now. He's doing very well. He's up to 210 pounds. This guy's one of the fastest players on our field and plays defense the way it ought to play. I think he's going to have an excellent year.
The highlight for Marcell Brooks from his one season in Baton Rouge, very likely his sack against Florida, where he did the little leg shimmy dance afterwards, which became a really cool gif that everybody uses on Twitter. And then, of course, he was in the Get the Gat video as well at the White House, which went super viral. But unfortunately, that's the most we'll get to see Marcell Brooks in the purple and gold and representing LSU. But you heard Ed Ogeron say there how excited they were about Brooks. And really, you know, on that day when I was talking about Marcell Brooks, my take was this is a guy that every time the coaches bring up Marcell Brooks, they rave about him. And every time someone asks me who's going to be your breakout players, I always say Trey Palmer on offense and Marcell Brooks on defense because coaches kept bringing him up. Now, my question in part is, were they trying to continue to talk about Marcell Brooks to persuade him to stay? I don't think there's any doubt that they think Marcell Brooks would be a fantastic player, but he was going to be a dynamic outside linebacker in a 3-4, and he kind of got stuck as a tweener in a 4-3. Like, listen to Ogeron when he talked about the linebackers and he went through the depth chart. This is what he said.
At the Mike linebacker, you have Damone Clark, you have Marcell Brooks, you have Antoine Sapa. Those are three outstanding football players. I think that when you look at Damone Clark, we're right now a guy from Sunderland right here in Baton Rouge, 6'2½, 237. It looks exactly like a big linebacker like we used to see it. Marcell Brooks is one of the best athletes on our football team. I expect him to have a great year. Antoine Sampler, 6'1½, 206, one of the best linebackers in the country.
Damone Clark, you heard what he said. 6'3, 237, looks exactly like the Mike linebackers we've had come through here. Marcell Brooks, he had running as the second team Mike linebacker. The problem is if you're Marcell Brooks, you're behind Jabril Cox, you're behind Damone Clark, and you're just undersized. Ogeron said that Brooks got up to 210 pounds this offseason, but he's still a ways away from being your prototype inside linebacker at the SEC level, where Clark's 237 or Jabril Cox comes in at 250 or 240. And then, you know, you look at what guys like Devin White and guys who've rolled through this program in the past and played that position and played it so well, they're bigger. The flip side of it is if you're looking at a 4-3 defensive end and you're thinking of the prototype like Daniil Hunter, 6'4", 265, like Marcel Brooks isn't that either. So he's kind of a man without a position in this defense right now, and they were going to have to find a spot for him, and I have no doubt they would have, and they would have gotten him on the field. But if this is a guy who's a former five-star that wants to be an every-down player and a day-one starter, that probably wasn't going to happen for him this year as they tried to find a new spot. Maybe that spot would be like a hybrid safety-type role, which you see Jacoby Stevens playing this year. Well, Jacoby Stevens is back, so Marcel Brooks wouldn't start there either. I guess part of me understands it, that when LSU – I'm disappointed but not surprised, because when LSU switched to a 4-3, we talked about this. The players that seemed to be the most affected were guys like Brooks that were the tweener outside linebackers, and then the true nose tackles, Apu Aika and Tyler Shelvin. Now, they were playing true zero technique, head up on the center. Now they're going to kick out a little bit and play in the gaps. So how effective are they? We'll see. I think the tackles are going to do just fine, but because of the size issue, those guys, you know, if you're Marcel Brooks at 210, how effective are you at shedding a 310-pound guard that's getting up into your pads? You know what I mean? So I think that's really the difficult thing for Marcel Brooks that he was staring at this year, and I think they would have found a role for him, but I don't think he would have been starting in 2020, and that's probably what was a big piece of maybe pushing Marcel Brooks into the transfer portal. Now, the very obvious landing spot for Marcel Brooks would be Baylor, right? His former defensive coordinator, Dave Aranda, is the head coach there, tailor-made for that defense in his home state of Texas. But my guess is, if you're Marcel Brooks and you're leaving LSU, you're going to want to play immediately. And if you're going to file for a waiver, a transfer waiver, it's not going to be granted on the basis of, I want to go somewhere that I can start this year. So some of the ear-to-ground rumblings we've heard this weekend are maybe Brooks wants to be closer to home in the Dallas area. Well, if that's the case, and Flower Mound is sort of northwest of Dallas, if you know, and north of Fort Worth, then maybe TCU is a landing spot. That would make a lot of sense. If he wanted to be able to play immediately, he might be able to file a petition for a waiver to be able to play immediately. Maybe talk about COVID, wanting to be closer to home. There's a lot of things like that go into decisions like that to allow guys to be able to play immediately. And maybe that's one that Marcel Brooks will throw into the ring to see. Maybe he'll see if he can make that work for him. But it's certainly disappointing for LSU, because Marcel Brooks was one of the highest rated members of last year's signing class. Consensus five-star, a really fast athletic kid coming off the edge that you know was going to be able to be a monster pass rusher. It was just about finding a role for him. And that's probably part of the reason with this defensive switch that Marcel Brooks is looking for a new spot. So we learned over the weekend, Marcel Brooks, former five-star, has entered the transfer portal. He will likely finish his career elsewhere. Of course, he could decide to remain at LSU. At this point, though, that would seem unlikely.
We are happy to remind you that the Locked On Podcast Network stands against racism and social injustice. That's why we, the hosts, are making personal donations to local and national organizations that are fighting for change. And in the month of June, Locked On is matching the total of all host donations up to an additional $10,000. To make your own donation along with us, please visit lockedonpodcasts.com/Black Lives Matter. We continue Locked On LSU, your team every day. So we've talked a lot about the class of 2023, how that's a massive quarterback class for the state of Louisiana. Arch Manning, Eli Holstein is in that class as well. There are others, including Jai Eugene Jr., the son of former LSU defensive back Jai Eugene Sr. Well, Jai Jr. is a rising sophomore quarterback at Destrehan who's now going through the recruiting process himself. We had a chance to visit with Jai Sr., who talked about what it's like now going through this process with his son.
It's a blessing, I would say. Jai works extremely hard, you know, but this is my first time like from a perspective of being a dad and just educating him and giving him the right tips, you know, and just letting him make his own decision, you know, but just show him the ropes and give him the good and the bad, especially with recruiting.
I want you to maybe delve a little deeper there. And how has the whole process, now this is obviously different with COVID, right? I mean, that notwithstanding, but how has the process changed in 14, 15 years since you were going through it to now what your son's going through with the recruiting process?
Yeah, well, social media is a huge part of it now. A lot of coaches communicate through Twitter. And now I'm just actually just getting used to that now. It's changed because you can do more now and see more now. I think the rules were a little different back then, but now they adjusted. So coaches are free to talk to the kids almost at any point now, I guess, besides the period that they can. My experience, it was that just knowing, you know, what place to be comfortable or where I can have the great opportunity to be successful. So now is that you can be more seen now. They have more resources now, way more camps than they had in the past. So just getting those opportunities, and you can go compete against top competition, and that really helps now as well. I know camps for schools are huge now, and most kids that get recruited have to go to the camps. I know for LSU now that I don't think they would offer a kid if they don't go to the camp.
Right.
So just giving him that experience, and it's the opportunity for him to really go compete against the top kids in the country. So I just want him to be prepared and be comfortable for that as well.
You know what's amazing, Jai? So your son is a quarterback for 2023. So he's a rising sophomore, for those who don't know. He's a lefty, too, can spin it. But 2023, we've talked about a bunch, is like this amazing year in the state. There's Jai Jr., there's Arch Manning, there's Eli Holstein. What do you see, you know, really being in it? Is the biggest difference that all of a sudden now Louisiana is producing all of these elite quarterbacks at the high school level?
Yes, I think, man, honestly, I think that because they have a lot of kids. Reese Mooney, he's another kid from Denham Springs that we know. And they have the kid from Scotlandville.
That's Scotlandville, yeah. I don't know how to say his last name. Do you know it?
Toussaint? I believe. We've seen him at the underclassmen camp a few weeks ago, and he's actually a pretty good kid. So I was telling a couple buddies a while ago that, man, this 2023 class may be just as good as that 2003 class in the state of Louisiana, which, my opinion, was one of the top classes in the past 20 years, recruiting class. Mm-hmm. And but they have so much talent, especially at the quarterback position. But like I tell Jai, man, it's great competition. You know, Arch is going to be phenomenal. He's going to be one of the top kids in the country as well. So just compete, and we continue to learn and get better as that process continues to go on. But I tell you, man, that 2023 class is a crazy class. I totally have a bunch of talent in that class. So what me and Jai has been doing, we've been training for cornerback as well. So I know that it's whatever he wants to play, but I also teach him cornerback as well.
Interesting. So do you think, so is his ambition to play quarterback at the next level?
Yeah, so I tell him whatever he wants to do. You know, I try to keep that decision for him and let him make his own decisions as a football player and as a young man as well. So I don't want to put any pressure on him by doing that. So whatever he wants to do and comfortable. But I tell you, we played cornerback for the Bootleggers before the pandemic, and he loved that cornerback as well. But to me, honestly, I think he loves playing quarterback. Oh yeah, he loves. He's a student at a game, and he loves being a leader.
What kind of interest has he been getting from around the country?
Oh yeah, we have Nichols offered already. They offered in January, I believe. Nichols offered McNeese as well. We're getting a lot of in-state love. LSU has been showing interest as well. So is Mississippi State and Florida.
Hmm. Is LSU showing interest as a quarterback or as a cornerback?
Yeah, as a quarterback. But I've talked to Coach Brandon too. He's like, I'm 6'1", almost 6'2". So he loves DB too. So I told him whatever he wants to play, whatever he's comfortable at. But, you know, my heart and soul bleeds defense. but, as best I want him to play cornerback or safety. Yeah, I just tell him, man, whatever he's comfortable with, whatever he enjoys.
Visiting with Jai Eugene, former LSU defensive back, member of the 07 National Championship team. His son, Jai Jr., is a a blue chip prospect for 2023. Jai's on Twitter, by the way, at Jai Eugene 3. You mentioned, so you're new on Twitter?
Yes, I'm totally new on Twitter. I've been having Instagram for a while, but I'm definitely new on Twitter, trying to get the hang of it. One of my good buddies, Chris Jones, he coaches at De La Salle. He actually told me about Twitter. He said, well, Jai, man, since Lil Jai is starting to get recruited, everybody network and communicate through Twitter. I was like, oh, my God. So I was like, man, all right, let me try to get the hang of this. But it's definitely been helpful. And that's the easy way to communicate with the other coaches as well.
The mute button on Twitter, the mute feature is your friend. So get to know the mute feature really well. A couple more minutes here with Jai Eugene. When did you start to realize that Jai Jr. had it? Like, was athletically gifted enough that he was going to be a recruitable athlete?
I'll be honest with you, Matt. Jai used to come to a lot of, he used to come to all the games, home and away games. So before the game, Ole Miss, wherever we play, we would throw the ball. We would run around on the field. Jai had to be like 2 or 3 years old. And he started playing recreation football, tackle football at 5 years old. And he's always been a quarterback. So it was really hard for me to change. But since he's seen me coming up and playing cornerback, that he fell in love with that too. He loves the back pedal. He loves to play. He loves to take on a challenge of playing man-to-man. And but you can see that from since he was 5 years old as the leader of the team. And I just knew that he was going to be special because he was around it his entire life, you know, especially coming up.
Now, when you were playing, your defensive coordinator was Bo Pelini until
yes,
John Chapin.
My guy. Right. Yes, my guy. Well, I love Coach Pelini, man. I'm so happy. Yeah, I'm so excited he's back now, man. And one of my old roommate and teammate, Calvin Shepard, he's actually on the staff now, too. And, man, every time we talk, he just gives me the stories, and we reminisce about the crazy stories about Coach Pelini and Coach Thibodeau, man. Those guys are great, man.
Well, so, obviously, you like having Bo Pelini back at LSU. What have you had conversations with Bo yet since he's been back?
Not yet. I'm actually supposed to plan a trip. I was going to go and catch a workout and just talk to Coach Moffitt and show my face around facilities real soon. But they have so much going on now. But once we get open, then I'm definitely going to head to Baton Rouge and talk to my guys and my family.
So if Bo wants Jai on defense, like would you encourage him to switch sides and go play defense at LSU?
Absolutely. Because, man, with Coach Raymond as well, man, Coley's a great guy. He's a great coach. And, I mean, Coley was like a GA or analyst when I was there. Mm. And, man, Coley was a great teacher. He's big on technique and big on fundamentals and being a student of the game as well. So if Jai wants to go there and play DB, I know he'll be in great hands with Coach Raymond and definitely Coach Pelini as well and Coach O.
Locked On LSU Podcast is brought to you by our friends over at Rock Auto. Rock AUTO. All the parts your car will ever need. You'll find it at rockauto.com. If you are a do-it-yourselfer, if you like to work on cars or you want to save a few bucks and repair your own vehicle, Rock Auto is a website you got to know. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com. rockauto.com. Tell them Locked On sent you. You go to the website. It is so easy to explain. On the left side, you'll see the manufacturer. So let's say you're working on your GMC. You click GMC, you click the year, you click the model, and then what part you're looking for, and it's right there. It could not be easier, or there's an easy-to-use toolbar at the top where you can type in the year, make, model, part, part number, type. There's a part number search. It just, trust me, if you're a do-it-yourselfer, if you like to work on cars, maybe you're refurbishing a car, or you're like our friend Ross Jackson from Locked On Saints, who had the tailgate off his truck stolen and bought a new tailgate at rockauto.com. Check him out, rockauto.com, rockauto.com. All the parts that you will ever need, and tell them Locked On sent you. Wrapping up another edition of the Locked On LSU Podcast, your team every day. Please subscribe to the podcast however you're listening. We certainly appreciate that. Found out some news about LSU baseball this week. Matt Beck, senior pitcher, who's coming back for what amounts to his second senior season after the shutdown from COVID-19, has been awarded the prestigious number 8 jersey. Had a chance to visit with the tall senior righty, and he talked about the honor.
When I found out, actually, I was on the phone with Coach Ranieri, and we were kind of discussing, you know, how this upcoming year would work with, you know, scholarship, all that kind of stuff. And then I was like, let me check with my parents, make sure it all works out, yada, yada, yada. And he goes, oh, yeah, by the way, another piece of information, how would you feel about being number 8? And I was like, I think I would like that. Well, I think I can manage that.
You are the first pitcher now to wear number 8. I'm sure that's not lost on you. What's the reaction been from some of the guys?
They're all super encouraging, and they're fired up for me. They've just been awesome. And, you know, quite frankly, it is an incredible honor. But I can't wait to be back with my guys. It's been such a weird, obviously, few months and, you know, unprecedented. But I just can't wait to get back with my guys.
So walk me through in a very, literal sense, what have you been doing for the last 3 months?
Well, I guess it just depends on what day you ask, right? To be honest with you. But no, every day is pretty much consisted of working out, throwing, and whatever order, throwing around a golf here or there. The past few weeks I've actually started summer school, so that's been thrown into the mix too.
Okay.
But other than that, that's pretty much it.
Have you been in Baton Rouge the whole time?
No, I'm actually in Birmingham with my girlfriend as we speak, and okay. I have been for a little bit, but I haven't been back to Baton Rouge but once to move out and then moved back in.
Got it.
With Clay Moffitt, actually. So
really? So is he putting you through the workouts now? Because as I understand it, he's like developed into one of the greatest trainers they've had.
Naturally, right? I mean, yeah, he had no real option.
No kid. Who would have thought? Like, you could go be like a fishing captain, right, offshore, like he was doing, or maybe you could like do what's in your blood and go train elite athletes.
Yeah, I mean, both are fitting, but the training that's up his alley, and I mean, obviously it's in his family's blood, so it's just kind of who they are. But you know, I'm most looking forward to his cooking. Believe it or not, I'm gotta watch myself so I don't put on. I'm getting old now, so I can't eat as much as I probably once could. So I gotta watch out for the old fifth year senior 15. You know,
this is what's happened. You've cut your hair, right? Now, like you're moving in with another guy. You're eating too much, putting on weight. This is what getting old is, I suppose.
That's what it feels like. Actually, I have good news. I haven't cut my hair since the quarantine, so. It's a potential option.
Was that part of Paul Maneri's criteria to give you the 8 jersey, that you grow your hair back out again?
It definitely came up. He was like, you letting your hair grow at all? I was like, actually, I am.
For those that didn't, the last time Matt was here, he talked about how just despondent Paul Maneri was whenever you cut your hair. And I had no idea that he cared that much about long hair.
No, I think it's still a sensitive subject.
Well, grow it out then, man. Whatever makes Skipper happy, right?
That's it.
A couple more minutes. Matt Beck's our guest on Twitter at Matt_Beck07. You brought up working out and throwing every day. And I wanted your take on this because I'm curious how guys physically are going to respond having not played a season. And you're still throwing, but you know the difference between going throwing a bullpen and then actually throwing like intense, pressurized, you know, innings in a game and what effect that has on your arm. So when you take just essentially an entire season off, do you think that you'll come back, like it'll take you a while to build up again? Do you think you'll come back stronger because your arm didn't have that stress?
I mean, I think when you're during this time, it's obviously impossible to duplicate game reps. And like you said, there is nothing that compares to that. But I mean, all that you can do really is the plan that we've had laid out for us, and try to execute it, and you know, just essentially beat the drills that we've been given. Mm-hmm. And you know, AD is the best pitching coach in the country for a reason. I truly believe that every guy that we've had will come back in shape but refreshed, if that makes sense. So I'm looking forward to the group of guys that we have, and I know they've all been working extremely hard throughout this quarantine given the circumstances, and you know, I'm just really excited to get back to them.
Did you ever strongly consider leaving?
I mean, it definitely wasn't as clear cut of an option as I would have thought, you know. To answer your question, it was just like, would the circumstances allow, you know? But I think that we have the group of guys that can make a run for a national championship, and that made that decision so much easier.
Let's go a little deeper there. And the very obvious part is college baseball coaches had a very unenviable task. They had to manage a roster with guys like you, seniors who might want to come back, and freshmen showing up on campus who otherwise might not have ever shown up if there was a full draft. So it was a really very difficult thing for coaches to balance the roster. What were those conversations like, or did you have one or multiple conversations with Coach Mineri about what you were going to do?
Yeah, we had a few conversations. One was literally 2 or 3 days after the season ended, and you know, I wasn't completely sure on what I was going to do, to be honest with you. And you know, then we talked probably a month later, and that was when all the stuff had come out that, you know, seniors would be granted their year of eligibility. The scholarship, I forget the exact rule on it, but that worked out in a way that I was like, yeah, I mean, there's nothing keeping me from coming back now at this point. You know, you only played 17 games in a season. You feel a little shorted. So to be able to make it right is an exciting opportunity.
The opportunity to come back to LSU for another year to make a run in Omaha weighed more on you than the possibility of starting a pro career somewhere.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I was so invested into LSU baseball before I had actually any physical investment into it. So, you know, the thought of bringing back a national championship, bringing back number 7 to where it belongs, is just weighed too heavily on me to pass up. And, you know, like I said, I think we have the group of guys that are very capable of doing so.
It's the thing that makes LSU baseball truly unique compared to any other program, where kids in this state grow up just wanting to put on that uniform to win a national championship. So you mentioned the roster a couple of times. Run through it, man. What makes you so confident about the 21 season?
Well, obviously, the pitching staff, I think, first and foremost. You know, we did lose Cole Henry to the draft, and I'm so excited for him to get to have that experience. And I know he'll make the most of it. But you also return, in my opinion, the best pitcher in the country, Jaden Hill. You return Devin Fontenot, they were both All-Americans. And you have two stud starters in Labus and Marceau that I think will, you know, thrive as they were doing last year. And then the hitters and Cade Beloso that have been here for 3 years and really know what it takes to compete at this level and translate that to the incoming guys. I think it's just truly a special combination that I'm very excited about.
2021 seems a far way away, but after the way 2020 is going, it can't get here soon enough. That'll do it for us here on the Locked On LSU podcast. Please subscribe however you listen. We'll be back tomorrow for more Locked On LSU, your team every day.